The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
Chapter 64. The book of Isaiah. Isaiah. Is it 61? Did I say 64? Forgive me. Amen. Are you there? Isaiah 61, verse 4. Hallelujah. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 61, am I there? No, I'm going back to another scripture. Let me pick it up very quickly. This is why I like my hard copy. Okay. I'm in Isaiah 61 now. You would have realized that we have used verse 1 and ministered through it that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Now, verse 3. We have also treated that some time back, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes and oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord, that he might be glorified. We want to focus on verse 4. Verse 4 say, and they shall build the old wastes, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. I take it again. And they shall build the old wastes, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. The same thing is quoted in Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Can we quickly turn to that? Isaiah 58, verse number 12. Isaiah 58, are you there? In Isaiah 58, it says, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of parts to dwell in. Will somebody say amen to the reading of the word? If we pick it back from the book of Isaiah chapter 61 verse 4, then we will summarize four things out of Isaiah 61, verse number 4. Can I hear an amen from there? Number one, they shall build the old wastes. Number two, they shall raise up former desolations. Number three, they shall repair the waste cities. And number four, they shall repair desolations of many generations. So one, they shall build the old wastes. The old wastes refer to the ancient ruins. Jerusalem was a city that was dedicated to the service of God because the Jews inhabited the place. They had a temple that gave them opportunity to access God whenever they needed to. But because they sinned and departed from the covenants of God, God gave them away to some strangers who took them captive and into a foreign country. So they were uprooted from the land of their birth. And these people that took them captive destroyed everything, and they were left in ruins. This occurrence was not just once, because there were four empires at a point in history that ruled the world. And the Jews were colonized at one time or the other by some of these powers. The first one is the Medo-Persian Empire, sometimes called the Mede Empire, M-E-D-E. So we have the Medo-Persian Empire, predominantly the Persians. And they would tell you that the country that represents it is Iran. The geographical, I mean. The second was the Assyrian Kingdom. They also came in to colonize Israel. The third was the Babylonian, which is very close to what we are reading right now. And the fourth was the Romans. I'm preaching on the topic rebuilding the broken walls. Rebuilding the broken walls. And I'd like you to pay attention to this message. Receive it, embrace it. Allow the message to be integrated into you and make an effort to seek God to work upon it. So, the first one, you will notice I've mentioned four kingdoms: Medo-Persians, Assyrian, Babylonian, and Romans. When Jesus came, the Romans were on. So it's important to appreciate that one kingdom came, did a lot of devastation, left, and another kingdom came, did a lot of devastation, left, and another kingdom came, and then the fourth one. So that's what the Bible describes as what the palmer worm, the canker worm, the locust, and the caterpillar came to eat. I will restore those years. Can I hear a good amen from somebody? So these were agencies of darkness that came in to attack Israel and to destroy their country, to destroy their economy, to destroy their crops, to destroy their system of worship, and leave them with nothing as they took them away to retrain them into Babylonian systems of worship. The one that is situated to this, the Babylonian captivity was for 70 years. So it was almost two generations of people. If a generation was 30 years, then 70 years was a little more than two generations. So some people were completely born in bondage, in captivity, in a foreign land, and had to be made to know that they were Jews by reason of their parents who were also in the foreign land. So the type of destruction and devastation that they did to the spiritual economy and the natural economy of Israel is what is being said that it will be restored. So the first thing God said will be done was that they shall build the old waste. In other words, the ancient. There were things that occurred before our forefathers. And there were things that occurred before at the time of our forefathers. And there were things that also occurred at the time of our fathers. And some of the things are occurring negatively. So successively, negative things have happened. But God is saying, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to restore the old waste. In other words, the ancient ruins. Number two, I'm going to raise up, I'm going to use my people to raise up former desolations. To be in desolation means to be reduced to nothing. Right now you are looking at Russia bombing Ukraine and literally rendering hospitals to nothing, the city center to nothing, banking institutions to nothing. So the Bible says that God would raise a people who would spearhead the raising up of the former desolations. Say amen. In other words, they will restore the age-old foundations. Number three, they would also repair the waste cities. The cities were wasted. The cities were just set in ruins. Whether it's Zaporizhia, as in Ukraine, mention some of the cities. Oh, you people, you have forgotten your current affairs. Whatever it is, the cities in Israel were wasted. And God is saying that I will repair the waste cities. In other words, I will renew the ruined cities. And number four, he says that there will be a repair of desolations of many generations. The desolations of many generations is reflected in the attacks of the Medo-Persians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and the Romans. So it was not one level of desolation, but it's four levels of downward grading and reduction to nothing. If you study the word of God chronologically, people like Ezra and Zerubbabel were returnees. They were returnees, about 20,000 of them returned. I read in some commentaries that about 20,000 Israelites were taken into captivity, and after 70 years they multiplied. So when they were returning, a batch of them, about 20,000, returned in the first instance. And some of them were Ezra, others were Zerubbabel, who had returned earlier than somebody like Nehemiah. But I'd like to use the example of Nehemiah from the book of Nehemiah, which I would kindly ask you to turn to, so that we understand particularly what is happening. So turn to Nehemiah chapter number 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. And then we pick it up from there. Amen. Are you following me? So let me summarize all I'm saying. All I've been saying is that we read a scripture from Isaiah chapter 61 verse 4, which was earlier mentioned in Isaiah 58:12. In the 61 verse 4, there were four items that were mentioned. The first says that they shall build the old waste places. The second, they shall raise up former desolations. The third, they shall repair the waste cities. and therefore they shall repair desolations of many generations. I went ahead to state that these are related to some attacks where Israel were taken into captivity in the time of four particular world powers or world kingdom who subjected Israel to a lot of torment and affliction. And they put Israel into ruins, and they were the Medo-Persian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonians, and the Romans. If you want to understand the history of Ghana, you must know what we went through. And so if you have to deal with it, then you must know what you have to handle. Can I hear an amen? So let's flip over to the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, reading from verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakilah, and it came to pass in the month of Kislew, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, and he and certain men of Judah, and asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left in the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Verse 6. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes be open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. Verse 7. And have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. Verse 9. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though they were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet I will gather thee from thence and bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. Verse 11. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy saint, and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. And I pray thee, thy servant, this day, that you grant him mercy in the sight of this man. This man is referring to the king, King Artaxerxes, to whom Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He was the one who mixed the drinks, and he was the man who squeezed the juice out of the grapes and other things, and prepared some nice drinks for the king. So let's start. Nehemiah was still in captivity, Babylonian captivity, when some of the brethren came to him. As soon as he saw them, the first question was, how is Jerusalem and how are the brethren there? Although Nehemiah seemed to have been in a privileged position, in quotes, in the king's house, sleeping in a nice apartment, and tasting the king's drinks, and he had access to good food and had access to good environment, he didn't forget that he was a Jew. One of the things that you must always remember, that you are a Christian and a child of God. So irrespective of the country or the community that you go to, whether it is a boarding school or a university premises or whatever, whether you're studying abroad, you must remember that you are a Christian and a child of God. So Nehemiah asked, how are the people and how is the city? In other words, you must not forget your people. The people that you must remember are God's people. So remember the church, remember the congregation, and remember your family. Don't act as if once you are not there, they can handle their own problems. But remember, I'll tell the next person, remember your siblings, remember your relatives, remember your parents, remember somebody who stood with you. It could be a friend. Don't even forget your spouse. Let's not go there at all. So Nehemiah, the first thing he did was to ask how the people were and how the city was. Then this was the reply he got in verse 3, that the people are suffering great affliction. Ordinary affliction is even too much. How much more great affliction? And secondly, they were suffering reproach, shame, disgrace. They were in a state of embarrassment. Why? Because their walls had been broken down. The walls of Jerusalem had been broken down, and the gates were not even spared. The gates were burnt with fire. They were set ablaze. It was to ensure that permanently the land was open to any intruder. Walls have significance. Number one, a wall helps to demarcate a property. It shows the edges of your property. Number two, a wall is built sometimes for aesthetic purposes. I'm talking about for beauty, for glory. And sometimes they will decorate the wall. They will build a thick and a high wall just for beauty and glory. And number three, a wall represents security, defense. Walls are not penetrable. When enemies come and the gate is locked, they have to find a strategy so they can enter and they can attack you. And these people that attacked them knew that the strength of the city was in its security. So let's break down the thing that granted the Jews security, so they'll be vulnerable to any group of people who were passing by. So Nehemiah, number one, when he heard this, became very burdened. So the first point we are talking about is that the people of God were in affliction. Their walls had been broken down, the gates thereof burnt with fire, and the people were experiencing great reproach. Number two, Nehemiah showed a reaction. So number two is Nehemiah's reaction. When Nehemiah heard about it, in verse number 4 of chapter 1 of the book of Nehemiah, the Bible says, first of all, he sat down. Secondly, he wept for the city that was in ruins. Thirdly, he fasted. And fourthly, he prayed about it. In his prayer, he pleaded for mercy over the sins of his father or his fathers that has come from his house. He didn't exclude himself, but he included himself in the intercession and pleaded for mercy so that his sins will be forgiven and the sins of his father that had preceded his sins would also be forgiven. Oh, can I hear an amen? Amen. And Nehemiah in his prayer went ahead in verse 11 to pray for favor in the eyes of the king. Prayed for favor in the eyes of the king. That's why he said in the last line that thy servant this day grant him mercy in the sight of this man. He was referring to the king, and the Bible says, for he was the king's cup bearer. In chapter 2, verse 8, we see the result of Nehemiah's prayer. The Bible says, and according to the prayer of Nehemiah, the king granted him his request according to the good hand of the Lord that was upon him. There are bad hands. When they come upon you in the supernatural, you are in trouble. But there is also a good hand. That hand that is above every hand. And that good hand is the hand of God. Today we declare, let the hand of evil be taken away from this country. Let the hand of affliction be taken away from your community. Let the hand of destruction be taken away from your family. And let the hand that seeks to bring judgment, condemnation, and death, let it be taken away from the church. Can I hear an amen? Let the good hand of the Lord come upon you. May it come upon the nation. Oh, say amen. Let me hear you. I told you that the word of God is proclaimed. It is declared, it is announced, and people say amen so that it will be established. I didn't hear an amen. When I was a young preacher many years ago, one night I was praying and then I saw something in the spirit. I heard the voice of God saying that I want somebody to prophesy my word. I was slated to go and preach. I was working with somebody and I was slated to go and preach that morning. I wasn't the one that was preaching every Sunday. And when it was my turn to preach, then I heard this voice. I said, oh, my God, I'm going to preach. In other words, God wanted me to go there and declare his mind. So I sought the face of God. I prepared my notes. And when I went, I put my notes aside. I started preaching from my notes. But along the line, I was expecting God to just carry me over to where he wanted me to be and to declare the word. When I declared his word that inspired in my spirit, the feedback I got was overwhelming. And God began to heal some people's lives and emotionally, psychologically, and take them from certain things that had bound them and were likely to destroy them. You can put your hands together. So I'm saying this for the purpose that I'm saying that the evil hand of the enemy has been removed from your family. It's still not convincing. I am saying that the hand that brought curses, the hand that brought disfavor, the hand that instituted the poverty, and the hand that has led to evil afflictions, that hand today is being cut short from your life. And in its stead, the hand of God is being brought to bear upon your life. Oh, I'm talking about the good hand of the Lord. I'm talking about the hand like the hand that came upon Nehemiah. that although he was a man in captivity and was serving in the king's house, and it was practically impossible for him to seek for permission to go and rebuild the walls, where they had been broken in Jerusalem, he literally had to seek for permission. The king and the queen were seated, that's in chapter 2, and when he sought permission, they asked him, how long do you need? And Nehemiah told them how much he needed. So that was miracle number one. Number two, Nehemiah said that give me security and give me letters of authorization so that when I'm passing through some districts, nothing will restrict me. Today, I release your letters of authorization. Oh, some things have hindered you. Some things have limited you. Some things have fought against you. They have become like hurdles that you couldn't clear. But today, by the divine letter of authorization that is placed upon your life, you will transcend barriers. You will go through limitations, and you will arrive at the destination what God wants you to be, and you will accomplish the purpose for which God sent you. Let the amen be bigger than all. Nehemiah requested for security. You see, you must be security conscious. They say, oh, men of God, they have security. Do you know how many times I've been attacked in traffic? Do you know how people have forcibly opened the car when I hadn't locked it, and second time somebody was trying to open it when I had locked it? Do you know the people that broke into pastors' homes just because they thought that pastors keep some things in the house? The higher you go, the bigger the attacks. That is why the president will have a motorcade. That is why the president will have security details who will go ahead and check the ground so they can sweep the place of any kind of explosive or any danger. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Abraham had 318 trained servants. There's a place that God will tell you that in wisdom, protect yourself. So Nehemiah requested for security. So number one, he was granted permission to go. Number two, it was because the good hand of the Lord was upon him. And number three, he requested for security and they granted him. And number four, he requested for some provisions to be made for him so that he will go with those resources and build. Today I declare to you, the project that you started with the good hand of the Lord, you will accomplish it. You will finish it. He who laid the foundation stone shall lay the headstone. Nothing shall restrain you. You will finish it and live in it and enjoy it for many decades before you depart from this world. Can I hear a better amen? Let me hear a better amen from you. Oh, your amen, it will come, oh, it will come. So in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 6, it was said that the king granted him permission, and this may be my words, the king granted him permission to go. In verse 9 of chapter 2, the king sent captains of the army and horsemen to go along with him. The king sent what? Captains of the army and horsemen to do what? To go along with him. So Nehemiah had all these things to his disadvantage, to his advantage. And one would have thought that the rest of the matter was easy. But when Nehemiah arrived at the scene, he faced opposition. So, summarizing what I've said so far, number one, a message was of affliction was brought from Judah. Number two, Nehemiah's reaction. Number three, Nehemiah's request. Asked for security and letters of authorization and for permission to go and do his work. Number four is in chapter 2, verse 10. And in chapter 2, verse 10, Nehemiah has started encountering opposition. Here there were two people who were mentioned who came in to oppose Nehemiah. Their names were Sambalat and Tobiah. I don't think you should name your children Sambalat and Tobiah. Some of you pick any name from anywhere. Sambalat was said to be a Horonite, and Tobiah was said to be an Ammonite. If you read the materials, a Horonite could probably be a Moabite. And these were people who had sworn to fight Israel. They would not identify with the people of God, but they will position themselves to fight the people of Israel. So just at the beginning of matters, Sambalat and Tobiah had come out to attack Nehemiah. I was interviewing a professor on my TV program, and he used an expression which I like. He said, there are some Christians with virgin mentality. In other words, they have an idea, but the thought has not been tested. They feel that their Christian life must be without battle. Their Christian life must be unchallenged. But Jesus was declared King of Kings and Lord of Lords after he was challenged at Calvary. So if you bear the virgin mentality, you act as if nothing must be opposing you. But you and I know from the beginning, there was even darkness upon the face of the deep. And God had to address it and speak against it for the darkness to be moved away. Can I hear an amen from somebody? You and I have to remember that at the same time, Adam and Eve, when they were placed in the garden, things were fine. And then somehow, the devil came to the scene. And then the devil came to tempt them and they fell. All I'm saying is that take away that virgin mentality that if I get married, everything will be fine. If I marry, there will be no challenges at all. Or when I marry. Oh, when I get a job and they give me my offer letter and they list my salaries and the fact that I'll get allowances like this and I'll be traveling intermittently, you think there will be no opposition? For some of you, you think that, you are too nice and humble, that your humility should be fighting your battles for you. I like the way you are laughing, sister. What am I saying? I am saying that, look, you must arm yourself as a soldier of Christ and realize that there are things along the line to contest and there are things along the line to fight. So when the time of battle comes, don't go and make friends. I didn't hear an amen. Stand shoulder to shoulder, toe to toe, eyeball to eyeball with the enemy and deal with him in the circumstances. Don't cow into submission for him. Don't feel sorry for yourself that, Pastor, have fasted and prayed, have attended all nights, and since childhood, since I became a Christian, fight the battle, wage the warfare, stand and determine to win, because Christ is on your side. Oh, somebody must be clapping and shouting aloud. So some of you wait till you are attacked before you pray. And that's when you start looking for all the prayer warriors and all the prophets and all the bishops and the few archbishops in the country. But what am I saying? I'm saying that stand with readiness, that when the enemy resists you, you will use the word of God and prayer to put him down. Somebody say amen to that. It was not only Sambalat and Tobiah who attacked them. These two are mentioned again in chapter, still in chapter 2, verse 19. Now is Sambalat the Horonite, Tobiah the servant, who is an Ammonite, and Geshem. Geshem was an Arabian. When he heard that Nehemiah had come back to help in the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, he came out scorning and laughing and saying that, oh, this will not work. I'm sure when some people started building stanchions, some people said it will not work. I'm sure when some people started building a chain of stores, some people said it will not work. I'm sure when some people started building a chain of fast food joints, some people said it will not work. There are always people who say it will not work. But once you have heard from God, it will work. It will work. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. In the name of Jesus Christ. So Nehemiah had to encourage the people. And you see, there's a time to encourage God's people to move on. And then in verse 20, Nehemiah encouraged them and said, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Now, the latter clause or the latter sentence was referring to the heathen, to people like Tobiah, Sambalat, and people like, who is the third guy? Geshem. The first part was to Israel, the latter part was to the heathen. The first part says, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. Can I declare it? Would you say amen to the word if you believe it? The God of heaven, he will prosper us. I want to repeat it. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. I want to say the third time. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. He will prosper us financially. He will prosper us materially. He will prosper us socially. He will prosper us spiritually. He will prosper us physically. He will prosper us socially. And in every department of our lives, in business and in other areas, shout the biggest amen to God's glory. Whenever the devil tells you that, look at your background, it's been long, things are not going to work for you, tell him that the Bible says the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. We, his servants, will be engaged in a profitable venture. We, his servants, will start a business. We, his servants, will apply for a job. We, his servants, will study in a higher institution. We, his servants, will start praying and declaring the word of God so that something happens. The God of heaven, he will prosper you. He will prosper me. He will prosper you online. The God of heaven, He will prosper you. But as for them, they have no part in this. They have no right in this. They have no inheritance in this. If you believe that too, put your hands together and say amen. Before I proceed further with the next point, I want you to know that the Bible says a city without a wall is vulnerable to the enemies. And every city that matters must determine its borders. Every city that matters must have a wall built around it in ancient times. If there are no walls, people can come in the dead of the night, they can come during the daytime, and they can come and attack you. Something happened to Israel in yesteryear, for which the walls that had been erected went down. And there are people today whose emotions there are no walls. Something happened. They suffered a broken heart. They haven't recovered from it. So when there's a discussion over a subject that goes near that area, they say, Pastor, I don't want to talk about it. If I talk about it, I will cry. No, I will talk about it so you cry and be healed by the power of God. The person that gave you the broken heart, he has moved on. In fact, he has married some other person and has had about 2 or 3 children. But you are still sitting by the rivers of Babylon. Oh, where we sat, and yea, we wept when we remembered how we helped the guy and what he did to us. When will you stop crying? Ask the next person, when will you stop crying over that thing? Ajije nye papa he onkwe benenshashon. They took Joseph and took everything from him. But nunchole keleshashon. Inke chuchwe no me yeninwa. Ni bonin jigben inke wale, ebo wale, wale. Nunchoba job, wale. Mini ota opede. Back pay. So for such people, they are in the choir. Something small happens, then they start weeping. They take it too serious. Because the walls of their emotion is broken down. You crack a little joke, they take it seriously beyond. Every time they are hurt. Because if it's a man, no con will flaming. Today be healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. So those people today, they are depressed. Tomorrow they are not happy. The following day they have serious anger. The next day, anything, they are worried. No. I say, may God heal all of us. There are others too that the walls on their minds, something happened to it. Sometimes it's not even you who broke it, but your forebears broke it. There are Syrians and other things may have broken it, let me put it that way. So that the walls have not been rebuilt. And there's a certain vulnerability. So the thing comes to hit us very hard. But today, I pray that your psychological walls of protection shall be built for you. Very important. I say you will not be mad. You don't say amen. You will not get insane. You will not go out of your mind. You will not be a mental health patient. God is rebuilding the walls. If you believe that, shout amen. Put your hands together. For some people, the walls of their health is gone down. And any little flu that comes to town, they will catch it. In fact, they will sanctify themselves and go and hide in another planet. But that virus may chase them to that planet. Their health has a challenge. But today, the Bible says he sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. By the power of God, I send the word of healing to secure your health and to build a wall of defense about your health, that arrows of darkness that are thrown will never attack you. Can I hear an amen, somebody? Some people are always blaming others about their finances. Today they are blaming their employers. Tomorrow they'll blame the government. The next day they'll blame their church. The day after that is their pastor. The day after that they say, if I were working with a better person, I'll be better. You can still be better. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Joseph prospered in the house of Potiphar. Even the little signs of prosperity must start showing where you are to prove you are a child of God. So if you look at the reality of the thing, the Middle Persians have come to your family. Oh, the Assyrian army has come to your family. The Babylonians have come. And the Roman Empire has come with poverty. So there have been various stages of accumulated poverty. That if you are blessed, it will not clear your indebtedness about the poverty. Instead of looking into your background, to wage a war and to fight for redemption so that this trend will cease, and your children will not fall under such thing. You are blaming others and time is running out. You didn't have it when you were a child. You didn't have it when you were in junior secondary, senior secondary. You still don't have it. Why? Today I declare. Oh, come on. I said today I declare that spirit of poverty in your background is crushed once and for all. Let the power of God crush it. Let the power of God destroy it. Let the power of God release you from the influence of the power of poverty. May Ghana be released. May your country be released from the impact of poverty in Jesus' name. Your business will not rise today and come down tomorrow. May your business be on the upward rise as long as you honor God. You are even afraid to celebrate your birthday, but I declare your next birthday shall be celebrated in grand style. If nobody provides for you, you will provide for the people who are with you. Yesterday we went to the woods. After we had finished praying, somebody who celebrated her birthday last Wednesday decided to just spread us. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. You think poverty can spread people? No. So we are building the walls of financial capacity. You have to learn how to give your tithes, otherwise your walls are still down. Give your offerings, make vows and pay, otherwise your walls are still down. And any demon can just come and pick. He's waiting for the next monies to drop in your kitty, and he picks it away when you are asleep. We rebuke that power and declare that the last money it took was the last money. It will vomit it back to you in Jesus' name. From today, I declare that you are on the path of success. You are on the path of prosperity. You are on the path of increase. And you are on the path of advanced blessing. Shout amen. Shout amen. There are some communities where social walls are broken down. So sibling in one part does not talk to the descendants of the other siblings in the other part. Annually, there will be conflict. Either it's a Kunkumba Nanumba war, or it's what? What are some of the annual? It's what? Every year. Yes. Every year, there will be bad conflicts in some places, in some families, because the social walls are down. A time is coming when group A will prosper and group B will also prosper. Their social walls shall be properly built, and they won't have problems crisscrossing borders to shake hands with one another. I didn't hear an amen. It will not be Andanis and who else? And Abudus. It will not be in the Greater Accra region, one tribe fighting another. Every time we are fighting. It's not just in Africa. Even in Europe, they are fighting every time because the social walls are broken down. But in your generation, God will rebuild the walls through your intercession and through your mediatory efforts. Put your hands together in the name of Jesus. Pastor, in my family, marriages don't last long. They will last long from today. There will be good relationships, good marriages, and they will last long in the name of Jesus Christ. What am I saying? If the matrimonial walls in your family are broken, you can go and marry the best man in the world. If you don't contend with what you have to contend with, it will still creep into your new relationship. It is not the changing of spouses that solves the problem. It is the building of walls. I've had some counselees, and this young man would always sing a song. Oh, as for my wife, she comes from a broken home. The parents got separated before she was 10. And as for my house, I come back from a ministerial background and nothing has happened. And so whenever there is a problem, he says it is from the lady's background. Now the problem has gotten to a height that the thing is affecting the two of them. Very soon, he would have lost that testimony that in his house there is no problem. A wise man would deal with the battle and carry it to the wife's background. I didn't hear any. You will pair up with her. You will support her. You will stand with her. But not project your family as the super family. And think that that thing will never creep to you. Sometimes God will make you swallow a very bitter pill of arrogance. Of your arrogance. You must humble yourself and seek God on daily basis to protect your relationships. Otherwise, you and your children will quarrel every time. But may God raise the walls of security over marriages that are there and over new ones that are yet to be cultivated. May God guide you to pick in wisdom. And may the same wisdom of God guide you to protect your relationships. That after 10 years, 15 years, 23 years, 34 years, 50 years, your marriage will still be there. If you agree with me, shout amen, shout amen, shout amen. Some of us knew that in our background before we were adolescents, mom and dad, their marriage had collapsed. So with humility, we started seeking God. We haven't stopped. We will continue seeking God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? For some families, the walls of long life are broken down. That is only short life. Nobody travels beyond a certain age. And people just die too young in the family. Today, as we set out to pray, you will pray for all these things. Oh, can I hear an amen? That God will deliver your family from that life without a wall regarding your age and your future. And God will build a wall where you people will live long and prosper as well. Can you clap to the Lord in Jesus' name? I always cite the case of Bolivia. The day I read about it, I have never forgotten about it. They experienced 105 military coup d'etats in 1 year. Divide 105 by 12 and tell me the average coups per month. Bolivia had no walls of political protection. And anybody could wake up in the night and say that he had gone into a coup d'etat. Somebody came to the throne for only 3 days and was booted out. What kind of country is this? How can investors come into your country? Today, divine walls are being rebuilt. Salvation is coming to you. Deliverance is coming to you. Healing is coming to you. Restoration is coming to you in the name of Jesus Christ. So the Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 4, it says that we shall build the old waste. The ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. We shall raise up former desolations. Today it may seem like they are in desolation, but when we start working, God will rebuild the place and restore the beauty and glory. And the Bible says we shall repair the waste cities. In other words, we shall renew the ruined cities, and the cities will come brighter than before. And we shall also repair desolations of many generations, things that were severed and cut off, blessings that were undermined in generations past. God will make you build divine bridges, bridges to connect to the generations from now ahead. That kind of fracture, that kind of thing that severed the blessings of God shall be taken away completely, and your children shall live in joy and in glory and in the power and in the grace of God and in advancement and in promotion. Shout yeah! So Nehemiah, in the month of Kislew, received some brethren from
Judah while he was in Shushan. And they brought a message that was not palatable. That the walls of Jerusalem had been broken down, and the gates thereof burnt with fire, and the city was in ruins, and there was much affliction against the people of God, and there was reproach. I ask that the hand of evil affliction shall be stopped. May the hand of satanic affliction be stopped from your life. May the reproach be ripped off from the country. May the reproach be ripped off from your community. May the reproach be ripped off from your family. And may the reproach be taken away from your life in Jesus' name.
Some of you have a very myopic view about prayer. You pray small, you get some small money, you start some business on tabletop, then you stop praying. Then you start giving reasons why the customers are keeping you there from coming to church. Listen to me, things have happened in generations past. If you joke with them, they will just come like a flood. I've been watching the news concerning one of the states in America, Hawaii. Everybody wants to go to Hawaii previously. And they've talked so much about Hawaii. It's one of the states I'd love to go to and see, because it's an island. They're surrounded by beaches. They have everything that is fun to go and relax. A few days ago, fire just went through parts of Hawaii, and whole cities have been put in ruins and desolation. Nobody knew some fire would come from nowhere. May God save you and I. That no evil fire will come and gutter whatever we are building. So you stay there. And when you get some small money, then you don't want to pray. Get some small marriage. Now you spend Sunday morning preparing banku and okro stew for your husband, so you won't come to church. You get something small, you don't want to protect it. You don't want to defend it. You don't want to make it work. Your prayers must supervise your children as they grow up, till they graduate, till they get jobs, till they marry, till they have their family. Your prayers must support them.
Can I be a little hard on you? You've become so selfish. That you pray a little, you say, fast. Well, I want to fast. Meaning fasting and look away and look away.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
Ask the next person, are you coming to the next prayer meeting? Ask the next person, seriously. Things have happened in the past too. The Medo-Persians have attacked your family. The Assyrians have attacked. The Babylonians have attacked. Now it's the Romans. Stand up, fight them. Fight them. Deal with them. Push them back. Disallow them.
So God says he's anointing the Jews so that the old ways places shall be rebuilt. It's not that I have a small cottage for myself, me and my children, and we ride a nice small car. No. No. No.
If the person sitting next to you ask you of 300 cedis this morning and you can't give it, and you need to pray. Of my bill, 350.
I like the way some young men are laughing. Say, I'm Pastor Fa, he's not serious. I'm very serious. Sister, you're not smiling at all. I'll ask you for 500 after service. You see, these are the things by which you measure that you need to pray. And not think that, today, God will bless you. You will have an air ticket apart from your tithes and offerings. And you will go for holidays and come back. Put your hands together. Auntie Alice, Obahami 500 kakpa. If you have to buy everything with your money, you will never get to where you have to get. There are things that will come by the good hand of the Lord. There are things that will come. They will come by the good hand of the Lord. You are ready to get married. The good hand of the Lord will supply everything. There's a funeral. The good hand of the Lord will supply every provision. Can I hear a solid amen? School has reopened. You have 4 children. The good hand of the Lord will give you favor with the institution. And somebody will finance it. A scholarship may appear. May the good hand of the Lord come upon us. The church must seek it until you see it is working in your life. There are some people here, their testimonies bless me. They used to sleep on corridors. I mean, when I say corridor, corridor. It wasn't a corridor at East Legon, which would be nicely fenced. But this was a corridor at Jamestown. But today, God has lifted them. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Put them in a very good profession. Giving them lands. And they have nearly completed their buildings. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Their children are in school. They speak better English than me. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Come on, okay. Hey, okay. God is a good God. I said, God is a very good God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He says, when you call upon him, he will hear you and he will answer. He will turn your situation around. He will turn your captivity around. God will lift you up. The Bible says he lifts up a person from the dunghill into the palace. From baller. The broken walls are being rebuilt. Say amen. Say a big amen. God will help us. I say God will help us. I say God will help us. Yesterday I look at a toddler sitting down and I ask, what are you eating? So I'm eating Pringles. I say, we. Saturday morning, it was cocoa with small bread. And they will pound fufu, but the fufu will be delayed and will be ready at 4:30. By the time they dish yours out, it's 5 p.m. You eat, you keep quiet, no Pringles, go and sleep. Now the children can eat what they want. There's a blessing.
that is flowing through the system. May the blessing be enhanced. May the blessing be increased. May the blessing be raised higher and higher. Now, little children after service, oh, they can have their own yogurt. It was divided into several. Also, the knives of the yogurt sellers were sharp. As soon as they placed on it, ka! Reverend, haven't they divided some for you before? We were six boys, so the division was according to long division. I remembered some children in Ghana. Their father was traveling and said, "Daddy, when you are coming, bring me blueberries because our classmates are talking about blue. You eat yellow berries. Yellow. I don't want you to be any. Eat it first. Put your hands together. I'm very passionate about the message I'm preaching. I'm very passionate about the word I'm preaching. And if you say you choose and pick services you attend, you'll be missing a lot. Even online. For you to be anointed as the restorer of the breach. You will see that expression in another part of the Bible. Restorer of the breach. The breach means that attack on the walls. So restorer of the breach means God will use you to rebuild the walls. That's what you must do for your generation and the generation that comes after you. Not that after you have left, then the children are suffering and struggling and can't believe that their mommy or daddy served God. I believe you have been blessed. If you have been blessed, can you shout and clap to God's glory? Oh, come on, shout to God's glory. Come on, shout to God's glory. Come on, shout to God's glory. A time is coming that before service ends, somebody will write a check, put it in an envelope. Apart from sowing to the church, will tell you, "Of an emoinem you." Ah, won't it be nice? When people are sick now, they are afraid to go to hospital. They will take paracetamol for anything. People are just afraid because they know when they go there, the bills will be big. But may the Lord deliver you in the name of Jesus Christ. Can you rise up, please? Rise up, please. We need to do some prayers. And then we'll come and continue on Wednesday night. Are you getting me? Potentially, many of you are very rich. Our prayers will let it appear. I say our prayers will let it appear. I'll be anointing you in one of these services and calling for the things which are potentials to become realities. Are you all right? Are you ready to pray? Okay. When you know, some of you pray only when others pray, but that's not the spirit. You know your situation. You know the creditor says he will come on Wednesday, so you raise your prayers. This young man,